As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Meizir, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer for the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Let's just pray for Tricia as she comes. Wendy, come and join us. Why not? Lord, strengthen Tricia, we pray, as she stands here, and touch her voice, that she would speak your words, and touch our ears and hearts too, that we might hear you today, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, it's lovely to be here. It kind of comes with a mix of feelings, really. Had many happy times here and difficult times and all sorts of times, but wonderful memories. Pete and I were here from 1975 to 1985, and there's still some people here who were here then. Right, and Pete's just buried just through that door there, and I do come sometimes on my own and just sit and talk to him, but he's somewhere else. he's with the Lord and safe. Right, I've been asked to speak about my experience and how I've got through these last 2 years. But I think to begin with, I need to just tell you a little bit about Pete and I. And I became a Christian when I was just 13. I'd gone to the church a year before. And then some years later, when I was 15, I joined the Youth Fellowship. And Pete was one of the co-leaders there. And he was 21. anyway, after a little while, we both fell in love with each other. But he'd already been called to the ministry, so he was preparing in that year to go to some place to get O levels and A levels and then go to college. So at the end of that summer, when I was 16, he went off. And so for the next 4 years, there was a lot of comings and goings and saying goodbye and then going to see him. And and eventually, I married him when I was 20, and we went to live in Bristol, where Pete had 2 more years to train. And I went out to work and kept him. And those are very 2 happy years, hard work, but happy years. And eventually when he finished there, he had to be a curate. So we went up to Kendal in the Lake District for his first curacy. And then we went from high-rise mountains to high-rise flats in West Bromwich. But it was in Kendal that we had both our children. We had Nick at the beginning and Wendy at the end. And eventually we had to look for somewhere to come and he be the rector or the vicar. And we looked around and we went to one or two places, but they didn't happen or they weren't right. And eventually we had the details of here, Markstay and Alden. Now, I'd heard of Boadicea and I'd been to Southwold once, but Colchester was like the other ends of the earth because I'm a northerner. I come from Stoke-on-Trent and lived up there. But I remember coming down in that very hot, first hot summer of 75, and we did, after being here about 3 days, decide, you know, think the Lord would call us here. And so we came. I'd said to Pete, I don't want a big rectory. And sure enough, there was. But you've got a nice new rectory here now. But we came here, and it was a wonderful time in lots of ways. It was tough at times, but we saw new people come into the church, and we got to know the older people who'd been here many, many years. And on the whole, it was a very positive, wonderful time. But in the middle of it, I did have this accident, and so I was ill for part of that. And the people here were wonderful. And then Pete, after a mission that we had here, and after a year or so, he went to work with a missioner. And eventually that was called Through Faith Missions. And for the last so many years of his ministry, he travelled the country doing missions, and we made St. John's in Colchester our home. But Pete used to come back here from time to time at midnight communions and things like that. And we always kept friends here, and it always had a very special place in our hearts here. But then, just 6-7 years ago, Pete became quite ill, unwell, and eventually it was found he had cancer. And he was semi-retired then, and he had 5 years dealing with that cancer. And I admired him so much, you know, how he dealt with it, and he worked on and off all the way through it. In fact, he did an alpha talk just 5 weeks before he died. He was that sort of person. He was a lovely man. he wasn't perfect, but he was a real strength to me through life, and I loved him and he loved me very much. And I was so blessed. But, you know, his illness, how he dealt with that was great. But eventually, 2 years ago, a few weeks, about this time, actually, just a few weeks before, he was told that, you know, there was nowhere else to go and that he needed to prepare. And then he sort of just went downhill, really, over a month. And he ended up in St. Helena Hospice, which he didn't want to go to at first. He wanted to die at home. But actually, once he got there, it was the best thing, and it was the best thing for him and us. And on the 24th of November, 2 years ago, he just peacefully went to sleep. In fact, I was sitting there, and I suddenly realised that he was about to just go. And that was him all over, really, just quietly go in a corner and just go. And how have I dealt with that? And what was it like? At the time, I'm sure all of you have had somebody close die to you, and then somebody particularly who's been ill, I can't imagine what it's like if suddenly somebody dies and you've not been expecting it. I'm sure that's a whole different experience. But for us, we had talked about things and about the future and things like that. So that does help a bit. But in a way, when somebody dies and they've been ill like that, in a way, there's a kind of relief. It's a strange thing, but there's a kind of relief. It sort of reflected that in one of the poems, because you don't want to see someone you love suffer too long and not be able to do the things that they did before and be so limited. So there was a relief. And then you have all the things to do that happen when somebody dies, a funeral. And I had to think very carefully, because if anybody who knew Pete knew, he did services really well. And I had talked to him about that quite a lot. And I said, you know, I want it to be right. And God helped me, and the Bishop of Colchester and Andy, our vicar, and Ian helped. And it was just wonderful, his funeral and burial here, and then a Thanksgiving. But, of course, for a time you have all the other bits and pieces to do. But as time goes on, the reality of what has happened hits you. and you miss so many things. And each day there'd be a new thing about him that I would miss. And it was hard, you know, it was very hard. I couldn't share with him any more unexpected things or things that worried me. I couldn't share with him joys and things like that. I mean, this year my daughter's bought a house, a flat in Chelmsford, and I would have loved to have talked to him about that. And those were the things. I couldn't have a hug anymore, or go and hold his hand, or hear his silly jokes. And when I go to bed, the evenings were hard, because he used to work very often when he did work till 9 o'clock. And then we'd come and sit, and we'd both sit on the settee and we'd hug and things. And all those things, and going to bed and waking up in the morning, and that person isn't there. And it kind of hits you. It hits you. And there have been times when sorrow and grief, just something will happen, or you see something, or you hear a piece of music or something, and this grief kind of envelops you. It's like a blanket. And it's not good to fight it, depending where you are. But it's very often when I'm on my own, actually, and I just let it happen. And I cry and I shout, or whatever I do, I just let that happen. Because I've learnt over the years, being with people who have grieved, that people who bottle up a lot, it's not a good thing. It's better to some way release it. But I would say, and you'll see more what I'm going to say, that I'm not in despair, and I was never in despair all day long and every day. Not like that. It would come and it would go. And lots of things have helped. Family helps a lot. My children and various. I haven't got a very big family, but they have helped. And then, of course, the family of my church and my dear friends there helped me a lot. And I've got some really good friends, some of them who are here, who have, you know, been there. I'm not that good at ringing up and saying I'm feeling sad. I'm not that good at that, but occasionally I have done that for some people. something else that's helped me a lot is memories. Memories have helped me so much. the happy ones, and like in that poem, there have been regrets, and I've had to, you know, think I wish I'd not moan so much about the football on the telly and other silly, you know, other more serious things. But, you know, memories have comforted me a lot. I have his picture all over, all around me, when he was well and healthy and handsome. Well, he was handsome to the end, but you know, he was frail. I've got letters. I've got 4 years of letters that we sent to one another. When he was at college, 3 times a week we wrote to each other. I've got diaries I read. And I found those a real, real comfort and to look at things. I try not to stay indoors and on my own too much. Particularly if I'm feeling a bit, I just have to get out somehow and do something. And I also prayed to God for some new things in my life last year. And so one new thing was Messy Church, because I hadn't had anything to do with children for a long time. I haven't got grandchildren. So I did that, and that was a nice change. And then I've been preaching, which I've always spoken to some degree and given talks, but I've never been a preacher or anything like that. But that's what I've been asked to do this last year more. It's been a challenge. And like coming here today is a challenge. And God's given me things like that. But really, the backdrop to all of this is that I loved the Lord before I met Pete, and he loved the Lord, and the Lord has been my friend, Jesus, through my life, and that has helped. And and you can be really honest with God. That's why I had that psalm read, because psalms are wonderful. When you read them, they're very honest. They say, I'm cross. I'm sad. Where are you, God? They do all those things. We're allowed to do that with God. We don't have to always be brave. We can say to God those things maybe we can't say to other people sometimes, because sometimes our grief is so big, it's too big for other people. I do share with my children, and when they ask me to, but I don't want them to have this mother who's always down and like that. So the Lord is my friend, and so I cry to him and tell him how I feel. So within that, why I had that particular psalm read is it's a mixture of saying how they feel and also talking to themselves. And there is those two things. So why are you downcast? You know, get on with it, think of the Lord, see what he's done, he will help you, he's your hope. Plus, don't sit here moping, get out and go and do something, you know, out there. And sometimes we have to talk to ourselves like that. And as I say, I'm not in despair. I do miss Pete so much. He was part of my life, saw me growing from a girl into a woman, and you know, and we shared so many things together. And so it's a massive thing not to have him around. And I'm sure I'll miss him till the day I die. But overall, I'm just thankful that I had somebody like that in my life. And I'm also thankful that I know the Lord Jesus. I know the Lord, and he's there. Even when I don't feel as though he's there when I look back and has helped me through. And it isn't because I'm a vicar's wife, was a vicar's wife. It's because I love the Lord myself. It's for everyone, you know, not just for special call people. It's for us all. So that's all I'd want to say, really, that, you know, I do feel all of you come with different experiences, and but it's lovely we can come and share this service today. That helps, doesn't it, when we're grieving. So thank you.